This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up? The Anchor Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Halloween to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with the Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. A very special Halloween edition of the DA Show. Yesterday, we had Katie Linedahl in, our Gadget of Gadgets. Everybody dressed up in Halloween costumes, but it's a full week celebration around here today. The set's all dressed up like Halloween. I'm wearing a bloody knife through my head. Miraz has brought in delicious Halloween donuts. So we are celebrating. Hopefully you guys have a safe and happy Halloween tonight. If you want to check out Katie Linedahl's outfit, her costume, she's always awesome at this. She went as the essence of Space Jam, an interpretational, conceptual costume. You can check that out on all of our social pages, including YouTube. Also, our PGP this week, the Permission Granted Podcast, delves into our spooktacular episode with Katie. You can download that. All places podcasts are downloaded. The scariest soundbite we have here in our troves of soundbites. Ronnie Lott's going to join us this hour. Yes, the greatest, one of the greatest safeties ever, one of the best defensive players ever, Pro Football Hall of Famer Ronnie Lott's going to drop on by coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. And we'll also talk about Baker Mayfield throwing another temper tantrum. But let's start with the World Series, shall we? And guys, maybe we can cue up Charlie Slo's or perhaps Dave Jagler's final call from the Washington Nationals radio network, because this has been an unbelievable decade of long-suffering, tortured fan bases finally winning the championship. We have seen this so many times. It feels like every year we have one of these. And last night it happened again. While Nats fans, this Nats team has only been around since 2005, they have had their fair share of embarrassment, being punchlines, humiliation for October flameouts. And before that, I'm guessing they were forced to be Orioles fans, because before that, not one but two Washington baseball teams left the district. And last night, the Nationals, after being a wild card and having to face down with the 106-win Dodgers on the road, and then the 107-win Astros on the road, claimed their first World Series title in franchise history.
The kick in, here it comes. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books! The celebration is on! The Washington Nationals are the world champions! Remember where you are, so you remember where you are right now!
Remember where you are. Remember where you are. You know, when your team wins a championship, specifically the first, you absolutely remember where you were. And that happened last night. Think about this decade. We had the Philadelphia Eagles fans who had never won a Super Bowl, had not won an NFL championship since 1960. We had the St. Louis Blues a couple of months ago who had never won a Stanley Cup. In this city, same city, the Washington Capitals win the Stanley Cup. They had never done that in their franchise history. The team they beat last night, the Houston Astros, had never won a World Series, did it 2 years ago. The Chicago Cubs had not won a World Series in 108 years. They won one a couple of years ago. The Cleveland Cavaliers had never won an NBA championship. The city of Cleveland had never been delivered from their pain and misery and agony since 1964 with any professional championship. And the Cavs brought home the NBA Finals. Go down the list. This has been superb. This has been sublime. This is what sports is about. And for all of us, because more of us root for teams that are tortured and long-suffering than root for the Giants, the dynasties, the winners. More of us root for the underdogs and root for teams that don't win than those that root for the teams that do win. Which is why, goodbye, Warriors. Happy to have you. See you later. Which is why I continually count down the days to where the rest of my life begins when the Patriots finally disassemble. Which is why I always root for the story like last night, because it gives us all hope. Nats fans could not have thought at 19-31 this season that this was finally going to be the year. All the other years were finally going to be the year. They could have never thought this was going to be the year. Nats fans coming into the World Series. They start out 2 on the road at Cole, at Verlander. Then they did that and won those and came back home and lost all three. They could not have felt what Nats fan felt good about this matchup or their chances that this was going to be the year. And yet here they are dancing and celebrating and hugging and kissing. And I just think it's amazing, because sometimes you wonder, when you root for a team that always loses, why do I do this? Royals fans felt this way in 2015. The Royals had been awful, losers, punchlines, since 1985. And in 2015, 30 years later, they were the ones celebrating a World Series championship. And I sat there at Citi Field that night. I was there at game number 5. And I said, I am watching the Royals celebrate. I'm sitting here and I'm watching it, because I want to remember when I feel like this, when my Mets actually win a World Series in my modern lifetime. The last time they did it, I was 7 years old and not allowed to stay up for it. It gives us all hope. These are the stories that give us all hope. And that's why when the Eagles win, that's why when the Blues and Capitals and Nationals and Astros 2 years ago and Cubs and Cavs and even the Warriors team in 2015 that won their first championship since 1975, all of those championships I love dearly. I root for those teams. I'm in. Call me a sports socialist, but I love spreading the happiness, because why else do we care? Why else do we get aggravated? Why else do we throw the remote control and stomp into the bedroom and scream bloody murder or feel miserable the next day at work or want to punch the pillow? Why do we do all of this? Because one day we feel like it'll be worth it. One day we feel like I'll be happy like those people are happy. And I want everybody to taste just a little bit of that happiness. So, Warriors, smell you later. Patriots, I can't wait till you guys are gone. Let somebody else taste that nectar. And last night, the Nats did, and it was amazing. And it's America, where everybody's got a crack at this. And it's not totalitarianism. It is not authoritarianism. It is not just one overwhelming evil empire that takes everything like the Patriots. The Patriots are ultimately anti-American. Last night, the Nationals
were the very best of what we love about this country. The little engine that could, wasn't given a chance, came up and defeated the British Empire. I loved it. Loved every part of it. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. By the way, speaking of those warriors are looking absolutely dreadful, and I am wondering what type of deal with the devil they actually made to bring in Kevin Durant. In fact, what type of deal with the devil did they have after they won their first championship? Because then it was, oh yeah, you want 73 wins? Yeah, you want 73 wins, don't you? One banner's not enough. You want 73 wins. And then it was, oh, yeah, okay, you want Kevin Durant, don't you? Yeah, how many championships do you want with Kevin Durant? Do you mind that everybody hates you? Okay, all right, yeah, okay, perfect. We're going to give you Kevin Durant. You know, eventually I'll come back for what's mine. That's fine, right? Oh, yeah, 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 that's fine, that's fine. Just give us Kevin Durant. He'll give us 73 wins. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, we want the dynasty. Because, of course, the end of the 73-win season wasn't good. And Klay Thompson, he gone. Kevin Durant, he gone. Steph Curry, now he gone. Curry breaks his hand last night, and even when he was in there, they were getting walloped by the Phoenix Suns. I swear, Chase Center must be built at an Indian burial ground. Because since they broke ground of that bad boy, this has been a rough couple of months here. I mean, I'm reading stories out of the Bay Area that the Warriors should tank. They should tank because that's how they can get a draft pick that maybe they can trade for Giannis. Oh, yes, because that would be great to see them acquire another superstar in their prime. Hey, how about this? Deal with the losing the same way everybody else deals with the losing. Oh, we'll just reboot it. Yeah, we'll just get a lottery pick and then we'll trade for Giannis because everything now is a quick fix in Warriors land because they've been spoiled. It should be instantaneous championship. Oh, four games in. Got to start tanking. Four games. There was a lot of dancing and a lot of shimmying on other teams. There was Steph Curry pantomiming, doing what Mraz's Pomeranian did in the living room in the NBA Finals. By Steph Curry. Those times were fun. There was Draymond kicking LeBron to the groin. There was Draymond yapping, chirping, trash talking, everybody dancing. Woohoo! Yippee! Yeah! Those were fun. Now, not so fun. Not so fun. When we come back here on the show, also not so fun being a Browns fan. When will they finally be delivered from the pain? Baker Mayfield proving once again that leading is not his best quality. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Ow! Excuse me. 4227. Excuse me. You say it in jest. Excuse me.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. Happy Halloween to everybody here listening to the DA Show. And we were discussing last hour what would it be like to go trick-or-treating at some of the members of the CBS Sports Radio family's homes. And would we trust them? Where would we put Jody Mack? Would we trust taking candy from Jody Mack's house? Now, I would say that if you snuck up on Jody and you heard those wheezings and gags from the house, you might think that it's either Darth Vader or somebody in an oxygen tank.
Maybe both.
I would also say that if Jody did happen to cough or sneeze while he was handing you said candy, you might be a little worried that you could pick up some of the black lung from him.
A little worried? I'd say a lot worried.
So is he the scariest member of the CBS Sports family to trick-or-treat at?
Yeah, not necessarily from, like, his appearance, although maybe that comes into question, but for fear of legitimate disease transfer, certainly.
Okay, now, you walk up to what appears to be a normal, average, everyday American home, and there is a man on the outside of that, on the porch, who's smoking a heater. And he seems to be gagging and wheezing a little bit. Do you, at that point, just bypass Jody Mack's house? Or do you say, you know what? Guy smoking a heater, no big deal. Halloween night. If we've only got a couple of more houses to go, I'm going to test fate here.
I think there's a lot of factors that go in, and I hate to overanalyze this, but number one, I got to know
what's... Do you hate it?
I got to know what's...
Or is this what we live for?
Or is this what we live for? I have to know what's in my bag already. If I feel like, you know what, I like what I've got in my bag, this isn't worth the risk,
okay. That's
fine. However, if I feel like it's been a little bit of a disappointing Halloween...
You need more depth on the roster.
Right. I need to take a swing, because what if by the off chance... And again, salary cap implications, anything goes into this.
Uh-huh.
The guy smoking the heater who's coughing up the black lung happens to be the one house on the block with the giant pack of M&Ms or the big king-size Snickers. Then all of a sudden you hit a home run. However, you do have to make a decision at the door. You cannot allow that diseased black lunged man to reach in and hand you said candy. You need to make sure that he's holding the basket and you dive in with your hand to make sure that that hand never touches each other. You don't want to be patient zero.
Is it possible that when Jody hands you the candy, he sticks his hand to the bowl, realizes, oh my gosh, there's no candy left. Hold on. Here's a betting slip from the OTB. Hopefully it's a winner tomorrow.
Certainly. Although, I mean, they're probably already losers. That's the way. There's a good chance Jody just spends Halloween at the OTB.
Do you cash in the Santa Anita 11th race if Jody's handed it to you on Halloween?
He hands you a Breeders' Cup preview mag.
Or a heater.
Right, he actually hands out cigarettes. That's what he does.
Did you guys ever get the candy cigarettes as a kid?
Yes, they were big at the ice cream man. I say those candy cigarettes swayed me from the real thing.
It's got to be one of the most amazing elements of old Halloween culture. That it was socially acceptable to hand kids candy cigs.
It's unbelievable.
Candy. Here, these things can kill you in real life. We know they can kill you. They are nicknamed cancer sticks, but here's a candy one to start weaning you onto how it feels to have the cancer stick in your mouth.
And we're even going to dye it red at the tip to look like it's heated up.
And if you blow the powdered sugar off of it, it'll look like there's smoke coming out of it. Now you'll really feel cool, kids. Don't you want to feel cool? You want to smoke, too.
I mean, could you imagine that ice cream? Think about this. Just to make it put in the real terms, it's 2019. The ice cream man comes around, and he hands you candy heroin. I mean, what would you do? You'd call the cops, right? How is this allowed?
Here's candy oxy for you. Here's candy meth for you. Here's candy heroin for you. Don't eat it all in one sitting, kids.
The opioid part of the candy store.
Yeah, that's right. Lewis in Palmdale tweets, would you trust Schwartz's candy? Dude would give out muffin tops and repurposed candies that he was given to by a AA baseball affiliate promotion. It would also take a long-ass time for the dude just to walk to open up the door because of his broken hip.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
Lewis in Palmdale, really? That's a Schwartz takedown right there, top to bottom.
Schwartz has lost the locker room.
So Baker Mayfield being asked some questions yesterday by Tony Grossi.
Baker Mayfield.
Longtime Cleveland Browns media member. And pretty clearly, Baker is over it.
It seemed like there was a lack of urgency there. There was something going on.
There was a penalty, so we were negative yardage.
No, but there was a lot of time between snaps.
Well, when the penalty happened, then we're behind the chains. No, stop saying but. I just told you the clock was running and we had a penalty. Do you want to give them the ball back? No, you don't play. You don't know it. That's just plain and simple. Was I happy with the drive? No, we didn't score points. It's the dumbest question you could ask. What? Jesus, Tony.
He then left. I don't like dancing on the grave of the Browns. I don't like it. Browns fans have been through enough. Browns fans have dealt with the fumble, the drive, losing the team, firing Belichick, the misery of the last 20 years, Tim Couch, Courtney Brown, Johnny Manziel, all of the ridiculousness of the last 30 years. Brian Sipe, every year it's been a different mistake or blunder or heartache. And this year was finally supposed to be the turnaround. 0-16. This was finally supposed to be the turnaround, and it has blown up in their face. So I do not take glee in this. But Baker Mayfield's getting worse at everything. Okay, let's just take the football part out of it. Let's just say none of this is Baker's fault. Let's just say offensive line issues, Freddie Kitchens issues, defensive issues, preparation issues from the coaching staff, schematic issues, all of that. Let's just say this is not on Baker. And let's say he is actually behind the scenes and everything well, and on the field, the coaches are looking at film and realizing, look, this is not Mayfield's fault, that he's throwing these interceptions, that he's turning the football over. We're not putting him in the right positions, yada, yada, yada. Let's say he's first at the facility, last out of the facility. He's trying to get the most out of Odell, keep Jarvis Landry on track. Let's just say he's doing everything well. What Baker can't do right now is show frustration, bitterness, resentment. He can't personalize the questions. He can't make this a battle. He can't make this a, oh, how dare you question? Oh, don't you know anything? You didn't play. This is so stupid. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Because at this juncture, the season's about to explode. It already has, probably, but at this juncture, you cannot show that you're also imploding. You cannot show that right now it has gotten to you, because you are looked at as the guy that's going to help drag it into the good times. And what Baker is doing is showing the obvious immaturity of a guy that doesn't know how to handle the bad times. And I've talked about this with Baker's personality before. I think Baker's chip on his shoulder, his motivational tactics for himself, his bravado and brashness works for that franchise specifically, for where it was. The fact that Baker Mayfield wanted to be there. Yeah, bleep you. The fact that Baker Mayfield would take on all comers. Yeah, I'll fight everybody here. That the Browns needed somebody like that to flip them from being the woebegone, punchline, ridiculous mess Cleveland Browns, because that Browns team never had any spark. Nobody wanted to play for the Browns. Everything was a punchline. Everything was a joke. And so having a leader say, I want to be here. Screw all you people. I'll fight everybody in this place. That actually worked for the Browns. But this is now the flip side of it. The flip side is you can't keep picking a fight with everybody, because eventually then you're just the kid that picks fights. And there comes a maturation point where it's not picking a fight with everybody that's how you're going to win. It is the example you set is what the franchise is going to follow. And the example right now is Baker's fraying and the pressure's cooking in on him, and he doesn't know how to handle this diplomatically, and that shows the weakness of the entire operation. Baker might be able to lead one day. Right now, the way that he's handling it is the worst type of leadership. He's not getting it done on Sunday, and he's acting like it's everybody else's fault in between those days. When we come back here on the show, one of the best defensive football players ever, Ronnie Lott, scheduled to join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I hate initial guy, like Antonio Brown with the AB. Initial guy stinks.
Kind of like, you know, DA.
Oh.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, full episodes of the DA show are always available on iTunes, radio.com, and CBSSportsRadio.com. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our next guest has 4 Super Bowl rings. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler. He's a member of the NFL's all-time team's 75th anniversary. He was a member of the 1980s All-Decade Team and the 1990s All-Decade Team. He is, simply put, one of the greatest defensive football players ever to live. That's both a College Football Hall of Famer and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And his story will be told coming up here by NFL Films and NFL Network as part of A Football Life premiering tomorrow. Ronnie Lott joining us. Ronnie, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing great, man. I appreciate you dropping on by. And this is probably going to be a question that you get asked a lot, but I'd love to know the answer to it. Do you think it would have been hard for you to play today with the current rules for defensive players?
No. And the reason why, and it's just pretty simple, my mother would have been very angry at me to lose $50,000 for a fine. So that's one. And then two, Barry Bonds, who is a good friend of mine, I asked him, I said, you know, tell me about the strike zone when that changed and you were playing. And he goes, Ronnie, what are you talking about? He goes, you know, you adjust, you learn, you figure it out. And the point is that that's what great players do. They figure it out and you get better and you find a way to play within the rules, and you find a way to be able to do your job within the rules. And as we've seen over the last couple of years, you're starting to see guys trying to figure it out. You see guys trying to find ways to do it. And then you see other guys that don't do it, and they don't try to figure it out. And so, to me, that's really unacceptable, because if you really want to be in the NFL and you really believe you're a great player, you're constantly improving, you're constantly trying to get better, and you're constantly trying to find ways to not hurt your team.
You were an amazing player in high school on both sides of the football, and when you were recruited to USC, I read a story that said that John Robinson had to decide between you and Marcus Allen, offense or defense, and ultimately said, Ronnie, we want you on defense. Have you ever felt or wondered what your life would have been like had you not switched to defense at USC?
No, never. I never thought about it. And the reason why is I love what I did, and I love being able to play the game the way I was able to play the game. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, I know Marcus. He's my brother. I know Joe. He's my other brother. And what I mean by Joe Montana, I mean, that side of the ball is different. And that side of the ball has certain things that comes with it that I don't know if I have the capability of doing what they do on the offensive side. And so there are things that they live with, and there are things that I live with that I feel really comfortable with. And so, yeah, it's more than just how you play. It's, to me, it's a kind of a spirit. It's a way that you got to think. It's a way that you got to attack. It's a way that you got to find ways to think of what the defense is doing. So of what the offense is doing. So there are so many things that are really intuitive to how I feel about the things that I think about.
Ronnie Lott joins us as part of NFL Network's A Football Life series. His career and life will be spotlighted, which I cannot wait for, premieres tomorrow. You know, we have some future Hall of Famers or perennial Pro Bowlers that are coming to the end of perhaps their tenure with their teams. Maybe Tom Brady, maybe Eli Manning, maybe Phillip Rivers. Maybe those guys are playing in different uniforms next year. You played a decade in San Francisco and then 2 years with the Raiders and then 2 years with the Jets. If you were to talk to those guys and they asked you, how'd you feel about leaving the only team that you knew and playing for a different team later in your career, what would you tell them?
You know, it's funny. It's a really interesting thing that you're asking. And the reason why, you know, to me, I've always had this mantra of life of exhaust every moment, exhaust life, and give it your all. And so for me, I always thought that was the idea about exhausting everything. Play as long as you can. No matter how, you know, no matter what team you play for, just exhaust it. And now looking and reflecting back, there are things that I think about that, you know, when I think about the 49ers and I think about what we were trying to accomplish and what we were doing, you know, I've seen the Warriors and watching the Warriors break up here and watching some of the things that they're struggling with. And when you start to have people leave and things go in different directions, it's really challenging. And to me, so sometimes when I think about it, sometimes I sit there and say, you know, maybe winning is more important than exhausting life. And so, you know, I've debated about that in my head, but I've always felt like I wanted to exhaust life and give everything I can to the respective sport because I didn't want to have any regrets in my life.
So in other words, you think about perhaps taking less to stay with the Niners in 91?
Yeah, and the reason I say that is that sometimes when I contemplate on it, it's really around the fact that you could have stayed a part of the family and you could have done, we might have won another championship. And so those things you think about at the same time, to me, again, even when I just said it, you know, exhausting life and giving your all and knowing that you don't have any regrets, especially knowing that you don't have any regrets, is a really interesting thing to me. And so when I look back at football, I know that I left everything on the field. I gave everything I could. And yet I could have, you know, possibly thought about that moment of saying, you know, maybe I might have, if I had stayed, what would that have been like?
Interesting. Ronnie Lott joins us this morning here on the show. Is it true, the anecdote, that you guys were on the bus heading to the Super Bowl at Pontiac, Michigan, your first Super Bowl after the 81 season, and that Joe Montana wanted to play Kenny Loggins' This Is It on loop to get you guys fired up?
Yeah. You know,
did it get you fired up?
No, look, and Kenny Loggins at that time, and that song was, you know, really around the moment of This Is It, and you had those moments, but in our case, because of the bus, of the bus being late, I mean, there were so many things that went wrong that morning that, you know, I remember sitting there going, man, I can't believe it. We're in Pontiac. Our bus is late. We're not going to make the game. We're going to have, you know, the whole day is going to be ruined. So, yeah, he wanted to do that, but there were a lot of things that went wrong during that day that made that day a little challenging.
So how'd you refocus to get into the Super Bowl mindset? That was the first time as a young player, I'm sure, that you had ever experienced anything close to that type of stage, and you were a young team in general.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I thought that the great thing about Bill was I think Bill drafted guys that had been in those kind of circumstances, meaning, you know, Carlton Williamson, Eric Wright in Missouri, all these guys had been in bowl games. All of them had played, you know, for something before they had played for the Super Bowl. So they were accustomed to playing for something. And I had played, I remember walking in to the Super Bowl going, man, wait a minute. This is what? It's only 50,000 fans at this dome? You got to be kidding me. We played in front of 100,000 people at the Rose Bowl. So, you know, you start to kind of figure out how to, you know, find ways to, you know, to deal with the aura and the enormity of the game. And so that's kind of how I rationalize it, and that's kind of how I got there. But yeah, we all kind of go through those type of things, and I think a lot of it is due to the fact that, you know, if you think of Joe Montana and you think of all those guys that played on that 81 team, we had all been in big games. We've all been in situations where we had, you know, found ourselves, you know, trying to figure out how to make it work, and so I think that was just another moment in our lives where we all tried to figure it out.
Ronnie Lott has lived one of the most interesting football lives ever. I can't wait until tomorrow's Football Life from the NFL Network and NFL Films on your life and career from high school to USC through the Nine Dynasty and on. It's going to be premiering tomorrow. Check it out. The series is just amazing. No matter when they do it, how they do it, and I'm sure your episode's going to be awesome. This was a real thrill for me, Ronnie. You're one of my favorite players to have watched growing up, and I really appreciate the time today, man. This was a lot of fun. I can't wait for your episode to drop tomorrow.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it as well, and thank you for your time, and more importantly, man, have a great Halloween.
You too. Ronnie Lott joining us, Pro Football Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, A Football Life tomorrow on the NFL Network. How good is that episode going to be? That was awesome. Ronnie, just all class all the time and one of my favorite players to watch growing up. Whew. Man was a mean man and did everything, absolutely everything. I could have talked to him for about 2 hours there. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And is today's epic fail about?
It's the essence of Halloween with Ian Eagle.
Yeah, the essence of Halloween, because Ian Eagle joined us earlier in the morning and told us that he doesn't even have to dress up for Halloween today.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
It's very important to stay in the spirit of things. So today I have decided that my costume will be Daniel Snyder.
Then you get to 13, and that is the year that you get hit with the flower sock. Watch out, you're going to get egged all day.
And here's the amazing part, DA. We would take chalk, pound the pieces of chalk, which hurt a lot. I don't change a thing. Yeah. I just walk outside.
No. Have you ever met Dan Snyder, and then he looked at you, and you looked at him, and he looked at you, and it was like the Spider-Man meme?
Well, one thing I will tell you, many years ago, I'm doing a game for CBS, and the broadcast location is right next to the owner's box at FedEx Field.
Yeah.
And the Redskins were losing the game to Cincinnati. And in the third quarter, a particularly upset Redskin fan looked up to the broadcast booth and started pointing at me. And saying, "You gotta go. You gotta sell the team and go." And I made eye contact.
Did Mraz fall down to the ground? Was he prone on the ground as the sock was beating him, or was he upright?
Although normally I would avoid eye contact in those situations, I made eye contact and I motioned to the right of me with my thumb, "You're pointing at the wrong guy." And he looks, he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He turns to his side, he goes, "You gotta go. It's over."
He was kind of hunched over, as you know, knees slightly bent, chest forward, you know, his male upper top sagging a little bit.
So, yes, there have been some incidents.
So, this guy thought that Dan Snyder was calling the game with Dan Fouts.
Yes, he thought he was calling the game on CBS. And then I instructed him that he just had to shift his vision just a tad to the owner's booth to find the actual owner, yes.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
That was a combination of Ian Eagle from the NFL on CBS and us going down memory lane with Mraz's friend after he got pounded with a flower sock growing up on Halloween. The team of the week brought to you by Ferguson. This week's team, of course, the Nationals. brought to you by Ferguson. Hey, trade pros, Ferguson, proud to be part of what you do with over 1,000 one-stop shop counter locations, expert associates, and an unmatched selection of OEM repair parts. Learn more at Ferguson.com. The Nationals winning a dramatic game number 7 last night. Howie Kendrick's two-run home run off the fair pole in right field off of Will Harris gives the Nats a 3-2 lead. They would go on to win 6-2, and Strasburg is your World Series MVP. That was a fun show, everybody. Happy Halloween to you. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheel of Steel. Thanks to the Wizard of WatchDA.com, Andrew Kaplan. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your haunted headlines. Tomorrow's a huge Football Friday. Ed Reed is going to join us here on the show, plus football picks, football foods, and football conversation. Have a great Halloween, everybody. The Mothership disconnects.
Pretty sick.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.